when God talks about the tree in the garden is in Genesis 2:16-17. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die." So here God is laying out the rules about the garden, and he says that they can eat from any tree in the garden, except for this one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then he tells them the consequence for their disobedience. If they are to disobey God and eat from that tree, what's going to happen to them? They're going to die. So that's pretty clear about that. So the one tree you can't eat from, and this is the consequence for disobedience. It's death. But if Satan is a liar, then we know that the things that he's saying to Eve are lies. So we're going to look at what those lies are. So in verse 1, he says, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" You must not eat from any tree in the garden. Is that what God said? No. It's not. God had said that they could eat from any tree in the garden, except for the one tree. So that's a lie. That isn't what God said. And then Satan talks again. Talks again in verses 4 and 5. He says, "You will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So, Satan said that the consequence for eating from the tree wouldn't be death, but would actually be a beneficial thing for them, that your eyes will be opened, you will be like God, you will know good and evil. Is that what God said the consequence was? No. He said the consequence is that you will die. And so you can see how Satan said, they're not like messing up here, right? So, how do Satan's lies affect me? So, after the first lie, after Satan saying, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" In verse 2 it says, the woman said to the serpent, "Well, you may eat fruit from the tree in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." So, if Eve's response, what God would say?
No. No. How's it not? I think she says you can't touch it either. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So she said it, but then she added to it, right? She added to what God had said, that you must not touch it, but he didn't say anything about touching it. So she's like saying it, and it's like part of the truth, it kind of sounds like the truth, but it's no longer completely God's truth because she added to it. She has no faith to it. She is no longer thinking completely or saying completely what is true anymore. And then Satan lies to her about the consequences of disobeying God. He says, "It'll be good. Your eyes will be opened. You won't die. You'll be like God, you'll know good and evil." And so when she hears that, this is actually going to be beneficial for you, you won't die, then she's drawn to that. In verse 6, it says that she saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, so she took some to eat. So she ate it. She disobeyed God. So the result of Eve listening to Satan's lies was sin. That was the result of that. So, can you guys relate to me? Do you ever take God's word and you twist it? So, maybe, as it says something, you take a little something away or you add a little something to it. That's hearing the truth. That's not listening to God's truth. Or have maybe ever thought that something God says they shouldn't do, maybe it won't actually be that bad if I do that. Or maybe if I disobey his word, the consequence won't be as bad as the consequence that God says it is. She didn't think that she was going to die, probably, when she ate the fruit. maybe we think something the Bible says not to do is actually a good thing, that God's withholding something good for me when he tells me not to do something. Or maybe that something the Bible says you should do, like loving people or forgiving people, is too hard for you to do, or it's not worth it, that following God's way of living is not actually the best way to live. Like, we all can relate to that. We all have thought that. In James 5:16, it says, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. So, there's that verse. I read that verse. But I did not live like I believe that verse is true. I did not live confessing my sins to other people and being open with other people because I didn't think that would actually be beneficial for me. That was scary. And I didn't think that would actually bring healing, which first said it. So I believed the lie saying that I was important, that I would, if I did share these things with people, that I would be actually a burden to them. And that what I was going through, my struggles and my sin, wasn't important, and I was bothered to help them. And on top of that, I also believe a lie that to be some kind of like spiritual leader, I couldn't struggle with sin. And I put this image, like, I had to have an image of I don't struggle in order for me to help other people and to be spiritual leader. So, like, doing that, I did a lot of sin. And I didn't always help my body, but it wasn't just bad with other people. But then, God told me one day that he chose me, that I wasn't unimportant, but that I was actually chosen. And John 15 said that you did not choose me, but I chose you. And why did you go through the blessed? I was like, I'm chosen by God? Like, how much value does that give me? That gives me less value. Like, I'm important to God. And then as I slowly learned how to let other people into my life, and to allow them to know my struggles, and to help me, and to pray for me, a lot of my shame was taken away because as I allowed my sins to be exposed, God also allowed my shame to be taken away. And I felt more known by people. I felt like I had value that I hadn't felt like I had before because I received from other people, like, you're important. I care enough about you to invest in your life to help you through this. And that, like, guide these people. And in addition to him telling me that's true, he says people show me that I am important. And this is still hard for me sometimes. Like, even today I struggled with it. Like, I was not feeling good and no I had to be. And I was upset about something and first I was like, no, I'm fine. But then, like, you know, I asked again, I was like, okay, I'm actually not being okay, you know? And so, like, to be open about that and me not being okay is still hard because I still have this, like, past, I'm going to be a burden, but I've learned, okay, and that's not true and I can't share. But it's still a struggle. And I still have to remember, okay, no, that's a lie. I'm not a burden. So, this verse, James 5:16, I saw that God's word is true, that confessing your sins to each other and by allowing others to pray for you, others should pray for you and help you through that. It does bring you the grace you have to your life. That's not how God's word is true. So, the second voice that can speak God's is our own thoughts and emotions. So, I definitely struggle with my own ideas and opinions and wanting to hold them versus when something is in opposition to God's word. Because I want to be right. And I want to be able to keep my opinion. I don't want to have to change my opinion about something. And sometimes I can, like, sometimes the topic or subject will make me have strong emotions tied to it. And that will lead me to believe certain things about it. But our own thoughts and emotions also need to be submitted to God's truth. So we're going to look at verse 6. when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. So Eve looked at the fruit after dating him and said, oh, that's good. And she saw, like, oh, it looks good. You know, it's appealing. I could gain something. I could be wise from this. And so it started looking like a good thing for her, so she took it and ate it. So the result of following her own thoughts about it, of her being able to say, okay, yeah, that looks good. Maybe I'll gain wisdom from that. The result of her following her own thoughts instead of God's word, what God had said, was sin. So if God is true, and his word is true, it's a source of truth, then my opinions and my thoughts and my emotions that aren't in line with this truth are wrong. I don't know if you guys know what your emotions can be wrong. They can be. And so I would never dare, like, I wouldn't stand up here and tell you I'm right and God's wrong about something. Right? I would never be so bold as to say that. Like, he's God, he's my creator, he's my Lord, he's my maker, like, he made this entire universe. How can I stand here and say, like, I'm right, God's wrong? But when I'm trusting in my own thoughts and my emotions, or following God's truth, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying my emotions and thoughts are right and are true about this, and God's wrong. So, most of you guys know that I'm totally my mom is dying with breast cancer. She started having chemo about 3 weeks ago, and it's been really hard for my family. It's been really emotional. I'm not usually an emotional person, but it's brought up a lot of emotions. I've been really sad at times, and I wish my family didn't have to go through this. So when I first found out about her cancer, I did not know how to interact with God about it. It's like probably the hardest thing I've ever gone through in my life so far, and I didn't know how to relate to God. So I kind of distanced myself from him for a while. I was kind of like, okay, I don't want to be mad at you. I don't want to question you, but I'm scared if I'm too close to you that I will. So I'm just kind of distance myself from him. And I realized that I was afraid of God. I realized I was distancing myself from God, and I realized this because I was afraid. I was afraid of what God was going to say. I was afraid that he's expecting too much of me, that it's going to be too hard to follow his things. And so my emotions, like my sadness about it, and my, like, this is just a really hard thing, those, my emotions caused me to pull away from God, to distance myself from him, because I was really consumed by my emotions. Like, my emotions were controlling me to a large extent, over, like, being like, God, this is how I'm feeling. And how are you going to deal with this? You know, how can I follow you in this? I was just consumed by my emotions. So God brought me back time after time to Lamentations 3:22-23, which is actually, since my parents got married, that's been like our family verse. And it says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, his compassions never fail. They are new every morning, for his faithfulness. So, in the time after my mom got diagnosed, I was letting my emotions dictate what I thought about God and how I related to him. But this verse reminded me that because God loves me so much, I don't have to be consumed with the sadness that I feel about my mom's cancer or the thoughts of uncertainty that I could have about the goodness of God. And I can say, like, I can say that I've experienced God's compassion, like his compassion being new every morning and his great faithfulness. I've experienced that throughout this time of my mom having cancer in a way that I haven't experienced before, even if that's really faithful. And so, actually, it might seem strange, but actually, my mom having cancer has magnified my belief in the goodness of God and my trust in him and in his faithfulness and in his love for my family. It has seen so many beneficial things in my family. So instead of allowing my emotions and thoughts to dictate what I believe, I want to hold fast to God's truth, that he is faithful, that he is good, he is loving, And sometimes you kind of have to believe that even before you feel it. You know, like putting the truth ahead of your feelings. Like hoping it for themselves that now, yeah, I do completely feel and experience that feeling. So I have to believe that sometimes and trust that even if I don't feel that. So I want to submit my thoughts and my emotions to God's truth instead of letting them consume me to draw me away from God. So the final competing voice we can listen to is the voice of other people. So maybe it's your friends or your parents, maybe it's your teachers, and that is based on some white people. So Adam had heard from God that he heard the man like, he tried to train the garden, but you're not supposed to eat the tree of knowledge of evil or you'll die. He had heard that from God. But if you look in verse 6, after Eve ate fruit, then she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. So Adam could have said, like, no, like God said that we should not eat from this and we're going to die. He could have said that to Eve, but instead he listened to Eve and he took the fruit that she offered him and he ate it. So it was also Adam listening to someone else and what he said God was saying. He said to. So in saying this, I'm not saying that you should never like listen to anyone or keep counsel or input from others into your life. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that you need to make sure that input is godly. And that it is in line with God's truth. And God's word should trump everyone else's voices. Everyone else's opinions. So, most of you know who Paul is. He's an apostle. He traveled all over telling people about Jesus. So, if Paul was standing up here speaking to you guys instead of me, would you be like paying attention and be listening to him? Like, yeah, I'd be like, I'd be really catchy for what he's saying. But in Acts 17:11, it talks about some people who listened to Paul and how they started his teaching. So, that's Acts 17:11. Now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. So the Bereans, what did they do? They listened to Paul and they were like, they were eager, they were like excited about what he was saying, but then they went back and they studied the scriptures themselves to make sure that what Paul said was holding up to the scriptures. And that's a good thing. Like, this is saying, like, that's a good thing. And so let the Bereans be a model for you guys of how you listen to other people. So if it's me or whoever's speaking up here, and then, like, I would love to come back and look at the scriptures that I'm giving you guys, and we're like, is what we are saying true? Is it cool with the scriptures? Because I want what I say to be true, to be God's truth. Like, I have come boldly for God to speak truth to you guys. And yeah, that's my desire, is that my message is in line with scripture. And sometimes I'll tell the girls that I'm meeting with, like, don't listen to my opinions. Sometimes I'm like, I'm not going to tell you my opinion about something because I want you to learn and to listen to God's word. And, you know, my opinion is sometimes wrong. That's not what's going to hold up. But God's word is never wrong. So I want to be, when I'm talking to people, I want to put them in God's word over my opinion. So that I can be more mental. So value God's word, love the opinions of others, and use God's word to test what people are telling you, to test the influence of other people. So, the advice that you're getting, the influence you're getting in the mind of God. So, I'm a visual learner, so like a year ago, maybe it was for one of you guys, I don't know, a year ago or so, I came up with an illustration to kind of show what I'm talking about. So, you see, so this is, I call it the funnel illustration, although it might not be the best name, but Okay, so this is a funnel, and at the top, the thing you're funneling is God's word. There are two different options for your funnel. Your funnel can look one of two ways. So the first way is when you read God's word, and then, if you all know what a funnel is, it's like, if you, you're putting it, okay, good. So at the bottom of the funnel, what you're getting out of the funnel are your convictions or your opinions about something, right? So some people, their funnel looks like they take God's word and then they funnel that through their own thoughts and emotions and other people's opinions. So they'll read something in God's word, and then they'll be like, all right, well, this person said this, and this is what I think about it, and this is how I feel about it. And then based off of that, I come up with my conviction about a subject. So for example, this example probably isn't relevant to very many of you, but when I was in college, I double minored in Arabic studies and Islamic studies. So I learned a lot about Islam. So like, Islam and Muslims are something that are very important to me, close to my heart. So it's been a challenge in my faith, my relationship with God. What do I think about Muslims? And what do I think about Islam and how they're related to Christianity? Maybe you don't think about that, but I've thought about it a lot. And so my first funnel was this funnel when I thought about that. I was like, all right, this is God's word. I learned about it at the university, so I learned about it from like a non-religious point of view, from professors. And I also learned about it from a Muslim point of view, from my Muslim friends. I studied abroad in Jordan, so I learned about it from that culture and from my friends there. And then I also went to like different Christian seminars on Islam, and so I learned about it from the Christian point of view. So I had all these points of view on Islam. And so my funnel was like, I have deep emotions about it. And I have thoughts, and there's things that I want to believe about Muslims. And like, I want them absolutely to be going to heaven. And so those opinions, those emotions are so deep that like God's word is not, I was filtering God's word, like knowing that like, Jesus is the only way to heaven. I was filtering that through my own opinions and emotions about it and coming up with my own convictions. So this is like one funnel that I think people can have. But there's another option for a funnel. And that is when you take ideas and your thoughts, emotions, when you take ideas that you hear, and then your own thoughts and emotions or others' opinions, and you funnel them through the Word of God. And then you come up with your convictions. So one day I was reading in the Bible, and I was reading in 1 John, and this is 1 John 2:23, and it says, no one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. I would immediately think of it, like, this applies to what we believe about God. Like, they can't deny the Son has the Father. I can't reject God's word anymore because we're not going to think with my own desires and emotions. And so that's when, like for this example, when my own ideas about it finally were filtered through the Word of God And then I arrived at my convictions. And for me, when I'm using this funnel, I think I'm a lot. I could be more passionate. I could be very passionate because my emotions can make me really passionate. I'm trying to defend myself. For this one, I can also be very passionate, but I have the backing of the Word of God. And I have, like, I'm like, this is where I'm like, okay, God, I believe that your Word is true. I'm showing that I believe that God is the source of truth and His Word is true. When I'm like, all right, God, all these things, even when it's hard, even when I want you to be wrong, I'm going to submit my thoughts, my emotions, others' opinions, I'm going to submit that to your Word and believe your Word over these other things. And that's how I'm going to arrive at my convictions. That's how I'm going to come to my opinions. And these convictions are grounded on truth. So that's my final illustration that I came up with. For you guys to think about how do I arrive at convictions and the beliefs that I have? Am I allowing God's words to be my final, or am I using other funnels instead? So I'm almost done, but I just want to, you guys, so I'm going to talk about other voices, the voices that you might be listening to. I should listen to God and His Word instead, but why? Why should we listen to God instead? So, I'm going to read Psalm 9, verses 7 through 10. But the Lord reigns forever. He has established His throne for judgment. He will judge the world in righteousness. He will govern the peoples with justice. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. So we listen to God instead of other voices because we know Him. Like it says in verse 10, those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. When we learn about who God is, we learn that we can trust Him. And if we don't know that we can trust God, we probably aren't going to listen to Him. Because God has not always access to do easy things. Following His Word is often not easy. But if we don't know that we can trust God enough that we can say, like, God, you know best. I know that you want and know what's best for us. Then His voice is probably not going to stand up against other voices if you don't really trust that often. But, so, the conclusion of my talk is that if you want to listen to God's voice, if you want to grow in listening to God's voice against other voices, then you need to spend time getting to know God's Word. Then you can see why He's trustworthy, like I did when my mom was doing the cancer counseling. I'm like, God, I know you're good. I know you're faithful. I know you're loving. And like, I need to go towards you. I need to turn towards you. I need to pursue my relationship with you instead of distancing myself and running away from you. So, read His Word, stay immersed in His truth. This is His Word of truth. Read it. And you have to know what God says in order to listen to His voice call. So, have as much of God's input into your life as you can. How can you have godly input into your life? So, the verse I want to close with is John 10:27. Jesus is talking about His relationship with sheep. He says, my sheep listen to my voice, I know them, and they follow me. So talking about His followers, and I pray and hope that you'll want to know God more, and that your trust in Him will grow as you learn from Him, as you know Him more, and that you'll want to live by His truth and to follow Him. We're going to pray for you guys, and then we're going to pray for the next session. God, thank you that you've given us your source of truth, that you've given us your Word, so we can read it, God, that we can hear from you. God, I pray that we would we would seek to know you more. And God, as we seek to know you more, we are learning that we can trust you, that you are always trustworthy. God, that whatever we're facing, whatever decisions we're making, God, that we would know that following you and living according to your word is what's best for us. God, I pray that would be true with students, that they would learn to listen to your voice, that they recommend your voice, and God, that they would learn to love all the things. Thank you.